Hello, friends. This is Pastor Darren Waldrop, and I thank you today for taking the time to tune into the services here at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. We are ready to enter into the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving up in our hearts and in our souls. The Bible says in Psalm 122 in verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Friend, I hope today that something said or sung in the service would be a blessing and an encouragement to you. We're going to be praying for you and for your family. And today, let us get ready to go into the house of the Lord together, and let's rejoice and be encouraged in the blessings and the goodness of our God. God bless each one. House of the Lord on this Tuesday evening, special edition of prayer meeting. Thought about when we preached some time ago about how Tuesday and Wednesday would have been one long day, one time in Joshua's day, and they called it Twins Day. So we're calling it Twins. Welcome to Twins Day, amen. So it is good to see everybody tonight. I'll ask if you will please stand. And I want to mention some prayer requests, and I would like to have a song tonight. Seth, you getting a song right now? Good, all right. We'll have a song here in just a minute. Let me mention some prayer requests. If you would be praying for Miss Claudia Honeycutt, she's been very sickly. Pray for Scotty Jenkins. Miss Lisa Robinson has cancer, very bad. Miss Stella Francis, that's my wife's grandmother, has cancer. She's 93. Pastor Zach and Miss Sierra Bailey, keep praying for them. Pray for little Blake Ingram after he's had a bout with Bell's palsy, and he's really had a tough time, so be praying for him. If you would be praying for Miss Penny Honeycutt, pray for Kennedy Grindstaff, Miss Nora Heiss, pray for Dwight Dula. Continue to remember the Vicki Holman family in your prayers, please. Pray for Dean Buchanan, he had heart catheterization. Pray for Miss Cindy Barrett, that's Mark's daughter that has cancer. Pray for her. Pray for Brother John Buchanan regarding his knee. Pray for Mike and Pat Laws. Brother Tony Heilman, be praying for him. He'd been in the hospital with some issues going on, and he is home now. Pray for Harold Smith. Pray for Brother J.C. Burleson. Pray for Ken Hollifield. Pray for Ray and Karen McKinney. Miss Angie Benfield, pray for Brother Will Miller, Miss Ann Duckworth, Brother Frank Gurley, Miss Stacy Singleton. Continue to pray for Louise McClellan. She had surgery on her feet regarding her toes. Be praying for her. Pray for Miss Christy Simmons, Brother Bobby McClellan, Miss Carrie Wilson, Ruby Pritchard, Sister Mark Jackson, Miss Amanda Davis, Crandall McClellan, Miss Nellie Fisher, Pastor James Hensley, Maxine Burleson. If you would pray for Luther Stamey, Miss Berinda Ng, Rachel Green, pray for Mark Fisher, Gail Wilkie, Miss Melda Biddix, pray for Miss Joyce Casper, pray for John, Daniel, and Brandon Ward. Others that we need to pray for tonight?
Pray for Miss Mary Jones. She's going to have an echocardiogram on Thursday.
Okay, remember that. Anyone else? Okay, remember that. Come ahead, brother. Okay, let's pray especially for Miss Berinda, in a lot of pain today. I'm looking forward to what JC's going to tell us. Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for all the prayers. You saw me get, most of you saw me get anointed up here Sunday night. Thought I was going to have a biopsy. Didn't need it. It's probably a hernia, so it's a whole lot better than it could be. So God answers prayers.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Miss Beverly, she called me today. She'd come up to the school and she was listening to the message at the school, and somebody had called from Walnut Cove, said they'd been under bad conviction when we preached down there. And they went over to Arise, I believe it was, and got saved over there. Said they're just rejoicing what God's doing. Said, I found out about that last chance. It was going to be my last chance, amen. And the Lord saved me. So he's still in the saving business. And that's 40-some since Mother's Day that God has saved, where I've got to be around it. You may say, Pastor Darren, I don't know. Really? I said, yeah, 40-some people. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? I have some special objects tonight. How about you? All right. Yes, sir. Wow.
The funny story was, the first three.
Praise the Lord.
There was one at that table that I thought, he's a good Christian man, and his was under his chair, and I didn't see it at first, so I just wanted to.
Amen, son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that our men oftentimes have the Tuesday night Bible study, and Brother Tony helps lead that. Brother Tony, I'm going to ask you if you would come ask the blessing upon the service tonight, upon these many needs that have been aforementioned. Amen. And then Seth will come lead us in song. Bless you, Tony. I love you, brother. Appreciate you.
Lord, we come before you. I just want to thank you this evening, Lord. What you do and what you don't do, and what you've not done in my life and what you have done in my life. Thank you, sweet Lord. Lord, we'd love to see you moving. And Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing, Lord, to help us all, revive us all. I pray, Lord, your touch on the service tonight. Lord, bless Brother Darren, fill him up. We got, if there's anyone here lost, Lord, bring him to you. We've all here, we've got lost family, we've got lost friends. Lord, would you hear a cry and save them, Lord? Just move in their lives and help them, Lord. And we ask your blessing on everything. We thank you and praise the holy, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
All right, grab your hymnal and turn to page 6. Bible camp coming up. We want to know more about our Lord. That should be our goal of all ages. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. Trials here I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion.
I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know. Shall not waver, for some glad day his face I'll see. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive.
Seth, good to see everybody again tonight. Thank you for being here on a special night of prayer meeting. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Of course, we do start Bible camp tomorrow for all preschoolers through 8th grade. It'll be from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and we're going to be teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ as he called his disciples, as he cured the disease, as he was caring for those that were distressed. And we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. Appreciate many of you who are able to bring in donations to help us with snack time and waters and Gatorades and Kool-Aids and all those things. And you can put them in my office. I'm eventually going to work them over to the school, over to the Austin Center, where there'll be a line that'll be formed. That's where they'll go and get their snacks at snack time tomorrow. They'll just go into the Austin Center and then come back out. So that's where everything will eventually we'll put everything, so if you could help us with that after, it's great. Maybe you might help us with some ice, and we need some coolers and stuff like that. Now for the Word of God. Amen. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down."
And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And we're just going to stop reading right there. That's kind of mid-story of what's going on. We'll stop reading right there, and we want to preach on this thought. Lord, open our eyes. We've been preaching much about prayer, and in this text, you're going to see the man of God praying, "Lord, open his eyes," and God said yes, and he did. Father, would you help us tonight then to preach the word of God to this thy people, that we might be an encouragement and a help, maybe to inspire, to just lift up somebody, Lord, that may be down today. And Father, I pray that tonight you might take us and open our eyes and help us to see as you see. And for this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Israel, in 2 Kings chapter 6, is operating under a divided kingdom. There is the southern kingdom, who had a few good kings and a lot of bad kings. And there's the northern kingdom, which is called Israel, which didn't even have one good king. And the king of record here is the son of Ahab and Jezebel. How do you think he turned out? Wicked, evil. His name is Jehoram. Now, in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7, the school of the prophets was growing. They were advancing the kingdom. They came to the man of God and said, "Would you go with us? We want to build on and build larger the school where we can learn about the Lord." And Elisha said, "Oh yes, do that. We'll build, we'll go on." They went out, every man fell a beam. One man borrowed an axe, right? The axe head came off of it. And he went to the man of God. He said, the axe was borrowed and the head of that axe is down in the middle of the river. And the man of God cut a stick, put it in there, and God miraculously caused that iron to swim. And I believe it speaks to a people that might lose their spiritual edge. And a lot of people's just beating around and thumping around and just making noise, but they're not really doing anything. And so you and I need to make sure that we don't lose our cutting edge, our power that we have with God. And in Israel, there's a lack of power because there's a divided kingdom. Then notice that when there's progress and the kingdom is advancing, the school is advancing, we come to verse 8 and we see, number one, the fight detailed. There's an attack. The king of Syria, his name is Ben-Hadad, he warred against Israel. Israel is the people of God. The enemy, just as soon as there's progress, the enemy, just as soon as there's advancement, get ready for the attack. When you're walking with God, going forward with God, here comes the enemy. He's going to attack you. Now just think about, for a second, Syria. Think about how good Israel had been to Syria. Think about how good God had been to Syria. Look back at chapter 5, verse 1. There's a man by the name of Naaman. He's the captain of the host of Syria. He's the general in charge. He serves under Ben-Hadad, and he's a leper. And he came to see the man of God. You remember that little girl gave a testimony? Oh, that Naaman would go over there to Israel and see the man of God. God could heal him. And remember, he came and the man of God didn't even come out and shake his hand. Didn't even come out and talk to him. He just said, send a messenger. He said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan. God will heal him. And he said, what? Why, is not the Pharfar and the Abana and these other rivers better than the Jordan? The Jordan's a dirty, nasty river. But finally they said, wouldn't you give gold? Wouldn't you give garments? You'd do anything to get healed. Why not wash in the Jordan River like the man of God said? And he dipped 7 times and he was made whole from his leprosy. You see, Israel and God had been good to Syria. And it's amazing how quick people forget when God's good to them. You do it and I do it. It's amazing how quick we are to forget when our brother or our sister has been so good to us. And the one little thing that catches your attention, you'll walk off and desert them and dissent from that nothing. Syria is attacking Israel after they have been so good to them. The Bible says that Ben-Hadad has laid out a cunningly devised scheme. He says, in such and such shall be my camp. The plans were laid. The king of Syria is going to launch an unexpected surprise attack against Israel. Now, tonight, you have an enemy. In fact, you have more than one. And you'll have critics. And you'll have haters. You'll have backbiters, troublemakers, foes, adversaries. Eventually, somebody's going to show their colors to you. And this is a conflict. This is not a playground. Man your battle stations. No, you're getting ready to start into vacation Bible camp. Man your battle stations. The enemy's not going to take that lightly. If you're out trying to serve God and you're preaching and souls are being saved, you're singing and people's getting encouraged, if you're teaching, if you're trying to live for God with a good testimony, man your battle stations. The enemy is going to attack you and it's going to be a surprise attack. The enemy is threatening. The enemy is hostile. But here's good news. God has an early detection system from Strategic Command in glory that warns you of the trouble that's ahead. What, Preacher Darren? They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have text messaging. They didn't have global position satellites. Oh, you're right, they didn't. They had something better. They had God. The Bible says in verse 9, the man of God, who I believe is the voice of God to the people of God, the man of God sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Elisha warned the king of Israel where and when and who the surprise attacks would come from. Now, you and I don't always know these things, do we? But we need to learn to expect. And we need to know this. Listen, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Holy Ghost is the early detection warning system that tells you, prepare for the battle. Prepare for the conflict. Guess what? You have a preacher at Bethel Baptist Church that has prayed much about preaching this message, and God has warned me to tell you, prepare for the unexpected. This will not be as easy as you think it will. But go ahead right now and determine, I'm going to serve God. If it hair lips the devil, I'm going to go all the way with the Lord. Amen. Now, the king of Israel heard the man of God speak and he heeded his warning. He didn't sit there like some of us and say, that old preacher, he's just looking for something to preach. He's got to get after something. And I get it. There's going to be a battle. Oh, yeah, big deal. No, the man of God warned the people, and the king of Israel, who was not a good man, heard the man of God and heeded his warning. And the Bible says that he saved himself not once and not twice. That means that on 3 or more occasions, the king of Israel was spared from some type of trouble. Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost goes ahead of us and warns us? How many times has he warned you and spared you of some kind of problem you was getting ready to put your foot in? And God took care of you. I'm talking about advisement. The king of Israel is heeding the warning of the man of God, and Elisha is frustrating the plans of the enemy. He's sounding the alarm, and the enemy's plans are being thwarted. Verse number 11. Look at the animosity. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. You see, Syria's attacks are not working. Israel has escaped every time. The devil had a trap laid for you, and God had you to escape it. The devil had something he wanted to cause division or discord with, and God was able to warn you about it, and you went right away from it. I praise his name. And now the king of Syria, he's mad. In fact, he calls all his servants together and says, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who's the traitor? Who's the rat in my group that's warning Israel where we're going to be?" Verse 12, look what he says. Look closely. One of his servants said, "None, my lord, it's none of us. It's Elisha. It's that preacher that's causing us problems." Hey, man, it's that preacher. We got to get rid of that preacher. He's the one that's got things stirred up. It's not us, it's a rat. We're not a mole. We're not traitors. We're not double agents. It's that no-count preacher man declaring the truths of God's word. We need to do something about him warning the people. And so look what happens. He says, "Go and spy," verse 13, "where he is, that I may send and fetch him." Somebody said, "I'll tell you where he is. He's down there at Dothan." You know what the king of Syria, you know what the enemy wants to do? They want to silence God's man. They're preaching God's word. They want to silence God's man preaching and warning about the world system. They do not want you hearing the word of God. It's amazing that if you really have, where you go to church, if you're listening on the internet, wherever you go, if you have a preacher who's dedicated to the word of God, I'm telling you, you ought to value that. You ought to honor that. You ought to respect that, because the local man of God is God's gift to the church to preach to you truth and to try to help you. You know who Ben-Hadad is after? He's after how many men? He's after one man. He's after that preacher man. If I can silence the man of God, if I can, listen, you know who the devil's after tonight? He's after you. If he can silence your one testimony, if he can thwart one thing, he'd get way ahead. Now watch here. The Bible says in verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night." What about that? He's after how many people? One man. And he sent horses and chariots and a great host, so many people, so many soldiers he sent, that it compassed or surrounded the entire city of Dothan. And he's after one man. And you know what his objective is? It's to discourage, to cause division, to cause dissension, to cause discouragement, and to cause doubt. That's what he's trying to do. And by night, under the color of night, the city of Dothan is completely surrounded. There is a fight that is detailed. Look with me, second of all, in verse 15, there is fear detected. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, he just got up normally early like he always did, and the Bible said he had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how will we do?" Do you see his fear? Look with me. It is a captivating sight. When he got up early and he was going about his normal routine, he got up and he prayed and he showered and he went and got him some breakfast and got him a cup of coffee and a donut, and he walked outside to stretch his legs in the morning sun, and he noticed all the way around the city, as far as he could see, there was horses and chariots and soldiers. All the way, he was captivated by what he saw early that morning. I want to give you a verse of scripture. It's in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. We want to turn there. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. You know, the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Great chapter. I especially love verses 22 through 26, but I want to read to you verse 51. Just the first few words. The first few words. I'm talking about a captivating sight. This servant, the Bible says, while you're turning, the Bible says that this servant was a young man. And that means he's probably a teenager, maybe early 20s. He's a young man, somewhere before 30 years old. He's a young man. And the Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. What does that mean? My heart is often affected by what I see. When that young man got up, normally he's a servant of the man of God. He's got a great preacher. He's got a great pastor. Man, he's excited. They're growing. And he gets up early that morning and he looks and he sees the enemy. And his eyes have affected his heart. He is paralyzed by fear. Fear. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You are paralyzed by what you see. What you see according to your eye gate. How I'm preaching now. I can feel it. It does not look too good from where you are right now. What you see, what is around you, your eye has affected your heart, and you're paralyzed by fear. Your heart has been gripped with fear. It's dominating your mind. It's shaking your faith. It is stopping and hindering your walk and your prayer life with the Lord. It is a captivating sight. In fact, go back with me. He is sensing calamity. I just wrote down the words calamity is sensed. As the enemy compasses the city, and we saw all those horses and all those chariots and all those soldiers, he certainly thought calamity surrounds us. I'm going to tell you what he saw. All he saw, I did amen right here, was bad guys. It's all you see is the bad stuff. It's all you're seeing right now is the bad stuff. When your focus is wrong, fear is natural. When your focus is wrong, fear is instinctive to a human. You see things that absolutely scare you and worry you and cause you to fear. It is your natural instincts to do so. The young man, the servant, immediately thought, we at Dothan, we, Elisha and myself, cannot overcome what we see. He says, I can't even take this pressure anymore. This is over. I believe right there, I believe the servant is throwing his hands up and saying, ha, 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 this is over. Time to quit. Time to bail. Cut ties. Get away from this thing. It's going down. He is sensing calamity. I guarantee you, somewhere in your life, you have sensed calamity. When you saw, you were completely surrounded. In fact, I want you to notice something. He makes a decision. He has got a clueless status. His servant said unto him, said to the man of God, he said, alas, my master, what or how shall we do? What does that mean? He doesn't have a clue what to do. Have you ever been completely surrounded? Fear grips your heart. It dominates your mind. And now all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what to do. You've been walking with God all these years, and you don't have a clue. I don't know what to do. You know, when the trial you face is bigger than you, fear is what you do. Financial struggles, illnesses, maybe a battle in the home. Maybe there's somebody's marriage tonight that's in trouble. And you look around and all you see is calamity and being compassed. And man, this thing is over. We need to bail. Don't know what we're going to do. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. We've got to cut all ties. Are you listening? Number three, faith is declared. Verse 16. Elisha answered, "Fear not." You know what he's going to do? He's trying to dispel the panic. Now, doesn't exactly say fear not every time, but it's implied 366 times in the Bible. Do you know how many days there are in a year? 365, and leap year has 366. So for every day of the year, there's a fear not in the Word of God. That's amazing. Here this young man is in that situation, and he's panicking, and he's in chaos, but Elisha is peaceful, and he's calm. Oh, yes, preacher, it's real easy for you to advise me about financial struggles when you don't have one. Oh, but I've had them. It's real easy for you to advise me about sicknesses when you've never had one. Oh, I've had them. Preacher, it's real easy for you to advise me about marital struggles. Oh, I got a wife too. And she has a husband. And amen. It's real easy for you to advise me. I got two children. One of them's on the front row. Amen. Let me tell you something. Elisha is not just advising this young man who's in the storm because Elisha's not in it. Elisha is the one they're after. They're not after the servant. They're after Elisha. They're not after Dothan. They're after Elisha. And in the middle of this threat and in the middle of this storm, he is calm. And he is peaceful. You know what he's saying here? Fear not. It means God has not abandoned us. You know what you need to do? Fear must be replaced with faith. You cannot have faith and fear at the same time. You cannot have light and darkness at the same time. Because where there's darkness, when the light comes on, the darkness has to leave. Amen? And so faith and fear cannot abide together. When you have fear, you must replace it with faith. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, 23. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, 4. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. The man of God says, fear not. Fear must be replaced by faith. He's trying to dispel the panic. Now he gives a definitive proclamation. Watch what he says. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. This is a word from the Lord. This is an absolute truth. If God be for you, who can be against you? I don't care how many horses and how many chariots and how many soldiers come past your situation. I don't care how big the threat is. I don't care how big the fear becomes. Listen, honey, God is on the throne and he is greater than any problem we'll ever have. He said there's more with us than there are with them. Verse 17, he issues a desperate prayer. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, evidently, Elisha was already seeing it. He already saw victory. Here's what, thank you, Lord. Here you are surrounded, compassed. Here you are with calamity sensed all around you. And all you see is bad guys and bad things. And all you see is doom and danger. But Elisha saw deliverance. And here's a servant of the man of God who is blinded to the real truth that's going on around him. Think about the danger of being blind, where you think you see, but you don't. And you fall off the platform. Well, you think you see, and you don't. Now think with me. This servant, all he saw was bad things. But he didn't see God's presence. He didn't see God's power. He didn't see God's protection. Let me tell you something. You'll get in church, I said a minute ago, between, I think, Mother's Day and where we are right now, scores of souls that I know have made professions of faith have been saved. But a lot of people will sit right here and say, ain't nothing happening there, church. I don't know, when's the last time something happened? And here's the thing. You know, you're blind to it. You don't see it. You don't appreciate the goodness of God. You don't appreciate God's power and God's presence and God's protection. All you see is things that you perceive. But you need to open your spiritual eyes, and you can't do it unless God helps you to do it. The man of God said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. I thought about something right here. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I could take you to a church where in front of their choir loft there was a big wall at the top, and they had a big banner that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that church got into a split, a fight, over something that was worldly and fleshly. And years and years and years, the window started rotting out, falling out, the doors were falling in, the floor was falling in. Somebody peeked in and looked. Part of the banner had fallen down. The W had fallen off the sign. Take the W off that statement. What does it say? Here, there is no vision, and the people perish. I'll ask you a question. Can we say about Bethel, here, there's no vision? I mean, you're compassed. Calamity surrounds you. I mean, all you see is bad things and bad happenings around you. Man, you're just about ready to give up. And the man of God has walked into here tonight and said, Lord, would you open, I'm not just saying their eyes, would you open our eyes? Lord, would you open our eyes and help us to see, Lord, that there's more with us than there is with them? That there's more good than bad? God, would you cause us to see your power, your protection, your presence? God, would you cause us to see and appreciate the mighty works of God that you're doing in our midst? Oh my, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. That's what we're wrestling against. I'm done right here, verse number 17, number 4. There is favor to discern. So Elisha prayed, and I believe the Lord said yes, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. What did he see, preacher? Did he see the bad guys? Did he see doom and danger? What did he see? He beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Preacher, was that a miracle? That chariots? No, they were there already. They were already there. They were there the whole time. Honey, there's no telling what God's got surrounding you, protecting you tonight. and you just don't appreciate what God's doing. And the miracle here is not that God is there. The miracle is that God gave the servant a divine ability to see the power and the presence and the protection and the peace of Almighty God. Oh, that God would open our eyes and help us not to be afraid of the battle, but to trust Him for the victory. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Now think for a minute. You know what he saw? Preacher, I read what he saw. He saw the mount was full of horses, chariots of fire around about Elisha, the Lord's presence. I'm going to tell you what. He saw the Lord was still in control. Hey, somebody tonight, you need to see that. You know what tonight, church? You know what our young people need to see? They need to see God still in control. They see a pandemic. They see presidential politics and the world in which we live and weakness and instability. But you know what they need to see? They need to see God is still on the throne. They need to have a vision of the armed forces of glory surrounding them, that you and I can really rest in the resources of Almighty God. You must know tonight that God is watching over you, that He surrounds you more than the enemy surrounds you. He's got the enemy surrounded that surrounds you. Woo-hoo. And God is there to strengthen and assist you. Let me tell you what else he saw. He saw that God still hears and answers prayer. Amen. He saw that God, you could trust Him. He had the ability to provide for him. And all his fear and all his panic was driven away. Hold your place here. Let's turn to Psalm 27. I'm almost done. Psalm 27. Verse number 3. Psalm 27, verse number 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Amen. You remember what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations? Mine eye affecteth mine heart. When I see the bad guys, I got doom and danger. But when I see the Lord, I see deliverance. Hey, when I get the eye of faith on the Lord, I will not fear. Here's our problem. We, as the servant did, see things from man's perspective based on appearance. But God, would you help us to see from the Master's perspective? You see things from a human perspective, but God wants us to see from a heavenly perspective. The servant saw a host surrounding him. You know what he saw? And somebody not, I'm going to give you some words. You feel danger. You feel ruin. You feel a threat. You feel destruction. You have fear and despair and distress in your mind and in your heart. All seems lost. It seems like there's no hope and no help from your perspective. But from God's perspective, amen, there is peace and blessing and victory and triumph. You know what you see? You see a pandemic. You see a world of fear and dismay. You see people dying. You see bad news coming, and it seems like it never ends. Sickness on every hand, financial struggles, sin is rampant, leaders without character, the devil looks to be winning, a crisis that's not ending. That's what we see from man's perspective. Cut on the news, and you'll dial it in, and you'll see that too. But if you could get in the Word and see things from the Master's perspective. Honey, your focus and your narrative does not need to be based on the world's condition. What they're feeding you is killing you. You need to get in the Word of God. You need a new lens tonight. There was a lady, she noticed that her neighbor had decided not to use the clothes dryer, but to hang her laundry out old school on the clothesline. I don't know how many of y'all still do that, but it was a beautiful spring day, and she thought, I'm going to hang my laundry out on the clothesline. And the neighbor, she sat there and watched her. What is she? You know how nosy we are. What is she?
doing? What is she trying to prove? Who does she think she is? And she started to notice. She called her husband. She said, look at her. What is she trying to prove? She's trying to make me look bad. And I want you to look. Her laundry, though it's clean, it looks dirty. Look. I mean, she should have used a different type of detergent. She should have put some woolite in there. Huh? She's got a mess. And guess what? About 3 days later, after she took that load of clothes in, she did it again. She put her clothes back out on that laundry line and used all them clothespins. And that woman, she said, I'm telling you, I don't know. That woman has got, I mean, why would you want to wash your clothes and then go outside and hang them up with them looking like that? I mean, that's a shame. That is a complete embarrassment. I'm going to go over there. She told her husband, I'm going to go over there and tell her she needs to go back to use a different detergent, and then she needs to go back to use a clothes dryer, because there's just some things people ought not to be seeing. About 3 days later, the lady did it again. And let me tell you what happened. This time she noticed, wait a minute, her laundry is crystal clean and white. I mean, she must have changed laundry detergents. She must have tried to figure it out. And finally her husband said, you know what? I decided I'd clean the window you was looking out of. And it was clean the entire time. It's just she's looking out of a dirty window. And I'm going to tell you your problem tonight. You're needing a lens cleansing. Some of you, I wear glasses. I've got mine up here tonight. I wear my glasses when I have to drive and wear sometimes when I have to see things far off. I get spots on them. Filth gets on them. Some of y'all look at me like I'm the only one that has that problem. And you know what I have to do? I have to get some cleaner out, and I have to go and wash them and cleanse them. And when I do, oh, I can see a whole lot better than I did before. And I'm talking to somebody tonight, you need a good lens cleaning. You need an eye adjustment. You need to get some things cleaned up in your life, then you'll see things a whole lot different. You need to get in this altar and say, God, would you help me? It's the truth. I've been in this church for 84 years. Preacher, I've been in the house of God for 80 years. I'm telling you something. At times, I get so torn up and bent out of shape over the things that I see. But now I'm seeing that I'm not seeing it from the master's perspective. This is what I want to say, and I'm done. Lord, would you open our eyes? You stand to your feet. There may be somebody here. You may say, I just want to get my eye off the problem. I got to get my eye off the problem, and I got to get my eye on the peacemaker. And the peacemaker, what is it that you need to do tonight? What is it that you need to do tonight? Father, I'm asking you that you would open our eyes to spiritual matters. Saved? Yes, we are. Redeemed? On our way to heaven? Absolutely. A servant of the Most High God. But Lord, we're human, prone to get our eyes from man's viewpoint, to get our news and our narrative from the things and the trash and the filth of this world. And God, it's ruining us. All we sense is doom and gloom and danger. Lord, would you help us to understand tonight? Would you cause us to see? If God be for us, who could be against us? Lord, I believe with all my heart there's more on our side than there is on theirs. And after all, if we're on your side, we're on the winning side. Lord, I pray then you'd help us, Father, that you'd give us favor, you'd grant unto us faith, and God, you'd help us, Lord, not to be afraid, but to look to you and to live in faith. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the number of souls you've saved. And God, you've done far more than I even have knowledge of. And how you've blessed me, God, to stand even here tonight to preach when the enemy would cause me to get tongue-tied, and to trip up and to get messed up, and the Holy Ghost has preached through us and has caused us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices, and has gone before us and prepared a way. And it, for all I know tonight, there are angels round about us. Help us, God, I pray, to realize that you're greater. Lord, I ask your blessing now. Touch that home. Touch those with that illness. God, I pray for your healing, for your peace. Those that have financial issues, God, would you help them, God, to look to you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Closely at the Word of God, that's only half the story of the happenings of that passage. I only had time just to preach part of it. It gets even better still. Go home and read it and consider the truth that's coming in those next verses. Praise God for it. Now we're getting ready to enter into a time of Bible camp. And Lord, I pray you would protect, you would bless, you would provide, you'd speak, you'd give courage, you'd give conversion. God, you'd plant seeds. God, you'd help us, Lord, to be in unity, one with another, and most importantly with thee. We thank you, God, for all you do. And Lord, we dedicate these 3 days, separate from any other day. God, would you do a work? Would you help us to see the work of God? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I sure do appreciate you being in the house of God tonight. And I hope you can go home and say, I got encouraged. And I appreciate you so very much. We will dismiss now. We need to take some items over to the Austin Center, to the Family Life Center. And we appreciate all the provisions that God has allowed you to bring. And look forward to seeing you in the morning for your teaching. About 10 o'clock in the morning is what time we're going to crank up. And hopefully you'll be here early. Brother Remington's going to help us lay out a new traffic pattern tomorrow for the kids coming in. We're going to drop them off right back here underneath this covered entry. And we look forward to what God's going to do. Y'all have a good night. God bless each one.